Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am so excited to be bringing you our guest, Symphony Howe. Symphony is an intuitive movement and confidence coach specializing in kinesiology. Did I say that right?
Kinesiology.
Kinesiology. Paired with mindfulness and meditation. She is here to share the experiences that led her here, from overcoming the cycles of shame, shoulds, and guilt that led to a teen pregnancy and physical abuse, to a black belt in Kung Fu and Tai Chi, and a bachelor's in fitness development. Symphony is here to help women give themselves permission to feel confident in their body, step into their power, and live from a place of love. Welcome to the show, Symphony. So happy you're here.
Thank you. I am just so excited and honored to be here. I really love this mission you're on, Amanda.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. So could you just tell us a little bit of your past and, you know, where you've come from and how you got to be where you are today?
Sure, definitely. So thank you so much for the introduction. Like you said, my name is Symphony. I'm an intuitive movement and confidence coach, and you know, it was summed up really well. I am here to bring women to show up from a place of love. And I'm here to do that because I know the pain and the darkness that can come from to living a life without self-love. And so when I reflect back on my journey and my experiences and what brought me here, I come back to the same theme every time. Every step along the way, every choice that I made came from a place where I was not showing up from a place of love. I was feeling a lot of shame around myself, around my body image, and there was just a lack of confidence and love. And when I reflect, you know, I really see where that came from. I learned at a young age that there was value in your physical appearance, that there was something tied there. My father suffers from fat phobia, and I grew up listening to him, you know, and shaming other people and how they look. My mom was very insecure in her own body and her appearance and how she showed up in the world. And, you know, I'm not saying these things to cast blame or shame. I'm saying them because society's ideals and standards really impact us, whether or not we are aware. And I noticed these fears in both my dad and my mom, these self-limiting beliefs and how that affected them. And I saw these stories that they were telling themselves. And those stories that they were telling themselves ended up becoming an outline for the stories that I would end up telling myself. And so I grew up just feeling really insecure, really body conscientious, you know, knowing that or feeling that my worth only went so far as how I could show up in my physical appearance, how I could show up in a way that society says, yes, this is okay. You know, we're bombarded with all of these shoulds and with all of these should nots, and we learn to hide pieces of ourselves. And I grew up just yearning and craving that acceptance from an outside source. And so I wound up really reaching outward. I connected to people. I really wanted to gain their approval, and I searched for that approval through romantic relationships. I became sexually active at a very young age because, you know, to me, in that mind frame, that mindset that I was in, that was like the ultimate way to show your love. If somebody could love me physically and love this body that I was in, you know, that would give me that approval, right? that would mean that I am worthy of love, because I didn't feel that I was, and I wanted somebody else to show me. And so I ended up having my first baby at the age of 15. That was 4 months before my 16th birthday. And, you know, I look back and I'm so blown away to see where we are now and this life that is just so full of light and love.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that then, right? I had this baby. I was scared. I was not in love with myself. I was already uncomfortable in my body. And then all of these physical changes that happen in a pregnancy, I had no idea how to take care of myself, right? And here I am, stretch marks and, you know, some loose skin and just feeling so uncomfortable living life in the body I was living in, right? Like all I could see were the things that society was telling me weren't deemed worthy, weren't, you know, deemed beautiful. And I had no idea. I had no idea how to love who I was. And I, again, just was so trapped in this cycle of shame and should and guilt, of wanting to get approval from an outside source so I could feel loved, so I could love myself. And my son's father and I split up when he was about a year and a half old. And I found myself right back into those cycles of really reaching outward. I just wanted to be loved, because I had no idea how to show up out from a place of love for myself. And so by the age of 19, I was in my first physically abusive relationship. It didn't start off that way. I think that, you know, abuse rarely does.
Yeah.
Now looking back, right, there are subtle signs, and still, you know, here's this person telling me he loved me, telling me that I was beautiful, telling me all of these things that I wanted and needed to hear. And so, you know, we moved in together, and slowly he became more controlling. You know, there was some verbal abuse. There were little like glimpses of violence that I just, you know, I don't think I was awake to it. You know, it would happen, right, and he'd say sorry. He'd tell me he loved me and be like, oh my gosh, right? Like, you know, I need him to love me. And it showed me, it made me believe that I was doing something wrong, that I wasn't enough, and that I needed to prove myself to him to be enough. And you know, it escalated. It became very physical. And I remember it was probably the worst moment in this relationship, just being tossed around my living room. I felt like a rag doll and just so powerless. So powerless. And, you know, after the fact, he would come to me crying in tears, apologizing. And I just remember feeling like a sense of calm overcome me. And it was like this message, this voice, whether it was source or my higher self, my conscious, whatever you want to call it, told me that I could not stay here, that I deserved more.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wasn't an easy decision to come to. And it definitely was not an easy process to follow up.
Right.
To follow up with. Yeah, definitely. And so with the help of my friends, I was able to get out. You know, I moved in with a friend, but I felt just so utterly powerless. I felt like I was at my lowest point. I felt broken, like I needed to be fixed, and I had no idea how to go about doing that. So powerless. I had no idea how to show up in this world. And I was trapped in those cycles again, just inside my mind, trapped in this pain, trapped in this darkness, searching for love. And I found myself in a second physically abusive relationship within a few months after. And it was similar in ways and also very different. There was a lot of verbal abuse that just kept me down, kept me doubting myself. And I was already trapped there. It didn't take much to keep me there. And then there would be like bursts of really, really sharp, really intense violence. And again, I was there for about 10 months in this relationship. And I remember being at the apex of all of this violence and having a similar moment. This time I felt even lower than before. I didn't think I could get lower, and I felt lower. Yeah. And that voice came through, you know, like, you have a son, you have so much more to live for. You need to do something. You know, you say it now, it's not an easy decision to come to, even if you hear that message. It can be a very scary thing to go through and to break away from. And so I don't want to downplay that at all. And getting out again took support and love from other people. I again moved in with a different friend. I sought out Shaolin Kung Fu and started studying. This was really the turning point of my life, discovering Kung Fu. It was a way for me to give myself my power back, to feel empowered in my body, to feel empowered in my movement, to feel safe, to know that I could take care of myself if I needed to. And it turned into so much more. So much more. I met beautiful, incredible, inspiring people, all of whom I believe I met for a reason, who were there to share their gifts with me. I learned a whole lot about myself. I even met my husband through Shaolin, which, you know, it was just all of these things that I wasn't looking for, but that came to me when I made the decision to really come into myself, to do something for myself so that I could explore and discover this sense of love and empowerment. And so I really dove into my studies. It opened up a lot of doors for me. Moving my body in these ways really allowed me the opportunity to not just create shifts physically, but also create shifts mentally and spiritually, energetically. I felt a shift toward alignment within these aspects because I was able to move my body in ways that allowed the energy, allowed my mind to move and shift and reframe and transform. It was a really, really powerful experience. But it wasn't like a fix all. It took a lot of time to get there. It was sometimes sparring was pretty traumatic, coming back and fighting somebody. There were a lot of things to heal from and to work through mentally and emotionally. And like I said, it really took time, and I still, you know, it wasn't like, boom, I was fixed, poof, I was in love with myself. I actually, you know, I found myself striving to again, prove myself, but in a different way. I was trying to prove my strength. I wanted to really work to meet this ideal. I was still moving to work toward this like physical ideal. I still had a lot of healing to do around myself and my body image. And I found myself training as a means to fix. Right. I wasn't showing up from a place of love. Now I was like, oh, I can do this. I can move this way. And now, you know, I have the means to achieve that body image that I've always wanted, to again gain that approval to love myself. Right. And I found myself becoming really obsessive in training, really obsessive in exercise. And that created an imbalance in myself. I would work out every day, sometimes twice a day. Wow. And it was just so interesting to observe. And it took me a minute to even realize what I was doing to myself. You know, I'd have days when I was just so exhausted and I didn't really want to use my body. But then my mind would start you know, just talking to myself so negatively, all of these right. self-limiting beliefs, again, all of these fears, these cycles of should and shame and guilt that I was trapping myself in. And it was like, you can't rest because then you'll never reach this ideal. You'll never prove your worth. You'll never find that love because you're not doing the work to get there. It was just a really unhealthy relationship. And so I realized that I needed to take time to align my mind, body, and spirit. And that looked like, to me, for me, in my experience, diving into the internal side of martial arts. I started studying more heavily in Tai Chi, and in meditation and mindfulness practices. I started leading and teaching my own classes here. I went back to school for kinesiology, exercise science, and fitness development.
Wow.
In doing so, yeah, that was a pretty big decision going back after all that time. And it felt good. It felt right. It was aligned. And I met some beautiful people along the way, made some wonderful connections, and just gave myself permission to explore what felt good for me, to really tune into my vibration and where and when it felt aligned to that of my desires, where I wanted to be, who I wanted to be, how I wanted to show up. And one of my friends through this exercise studies program introduced me to yoga, and I fell in love with that. You know, I went out and experienced other things and really just took time to see what feels good in my body. And I think that's really key in moving through some of these like harmful, rigid structures. We're so attuned to all of these shoulds and these should nots. And we have these ideas and ideologies that are pressed upon us by society. And we don't take time to slow down. We don't take time to tune in and to ask ourselves what feels good for us. And when I was able to do that, I gave myself a little bit of power, and I realized that I was worth investing my time and my energy in. You know, I was doing these things. I went back to school. I started studying yoga. I was doing the internal martial arts. I hired my own coaches and trainers. I took the time again to simply slow down enough to explore, to find what resonates. And that allowed me to step into my authenticity a little more every time, right? I'm discovering these things that fit. And that took me to showing up for myself as a means of celebration, right? It was this whole transformative shift happened once I realized that I needed to slow down and really tune in and align and find what I could add to my wellness toolbox that really resonated with me. All of these different ways that I can move or think or ground and be, picking up on all of these things, creating this toolbox and allowing myself to draw from them as a means of celebrating all of the beautiful and amazing things that my body is capable of, that my mind and my energy is capable of. And so I think showing up out of celebration for myself instead of being, you know, instead of showing up as a means to fix, was really just such a huge shift in reframing my mindset and really truly aligning my vibration to where I wanted to be. Yeah. And I think that it's really important for all of us to realize that we aren't something that needs to be fixed, right? You aren't something that needs to be fixed. You aren't broken. Your pain, your darkness, it doesn't define you. You have everything you need alive within you to shine bright, to show up authentically you. You are already beautiful. You are already powerful. And that's the message that I want to share, is that, you know, these these self-limiting beliefs and fears, these cycles of should and shame and guilt, this is not your truth. This is a false narrative that's been written for you by somebody else. And you have the power to step into all of your potential, all of your beauty, all of your power. You are a light that is shining bright, and we can show up out of a celebration, out of a place of love, from love and compassion. And when we do that, we're able to really step into ourselves and just show up unapologetically, because you are worth it. We're all worth it.
Yes. Yes. You know, your story is so powerful. Like, you went from, you know, focusing on the outside, you know, approval, to now you show up. I love that you say you show up in celebration. Like, that's so beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
I do want to go back to something you said in the beginning of your story, how whenever, you know, your parents, you know, your father, you know, would talk poorly of people who were overweight, and your mom had a lot of body image issues. And, you know, my father didn't have this, but my mom, you know, I grew up with an anorexic mom, a mom who never thought she was pretty, a mom who thought, you know, like, if she gained even like half a pound, she was fat, you know? So I grew up in that sense, the same as you, because I looked outward. Mm-hmm. I wanted that acceptance. And when you brought up, you know, having sex, and you thought that was, you know, oh, he loves me, you know, this is it. Like, oh, you know, he loves me because, you know, we did that together. And I can relate to that as well. I know when I went to college out of high school, that's what I thought I needed. I needed to find a man to accept me. You know, I dressed a certain way to attract men, and, if, you know, obviously I didn't attract the right ones. And I too, like, I thought sex was love. I thought that if someone was willing to have sex with me, that somehow that meant that this man loves me and I must be beautiful. There's my validation.
Yep.
And that is so not true. You know,
not it's just at all. Not even true.
Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you open yourself up in that very personal way, and you're not mentally strong, certain types of people are attracted to you. You don't even know you're doing it. You don't even know the energy you're putting off.
And it's that vibration and that frequency. You really attract where you're vibrating.
Yes. And you'll end up attracting a lot of toxicity that doesn't just need to be sex, but friendships, you know, things that, you know, and then all of a sudden you wake up one morning, you're like, wait a second, like, where am I? Like, who am I?
Right.
You know, like, my whole dream when I was in school was to go to college and be a school teacher. Well, I failed out of college because I was looking outward.
Yep.
I didn't think I was good enough to have these things in my life. So I self-sabotaged everything in my path, you know, and I ended up, you know, I got pregnant at 19, and to a very just abusive man. And, you know, I ended up giving her up for adoption because of things that were going on in his family, which I'm not going to mention here, but that was what was best for her. So at a very young age, I was a mother, but I didn't have my child. So I was very, very low and dark. So I attracted another abusive man. Yeah. So, like, as you were talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I relate to all of this.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we realize that, you know, we are the most important thing in our own lives.
Definitely.
We have to take care of ourselves. Like you said, you have to find the way to look inward, because you have to be happy. Because if you're not happy with yourself and you can't love yourself, then you're never going to attract the love you deserve.
Exactly.
Period. It's just not going to happen.
You can't gain love from a place of self-hate or loathing or, you know, insecurity and all of these negative places that we go. Love, you have to love. You have to learn to love.
Yes, for sure. And then if you could go back and tell your younger self one thing, what would that one thing be? What would you tell the young Symphony?
Sure. I'm reading a book right now called The Body is Not an Apology by Sonia Renee Taylor. And I think if I were able to do one thing, I would go back in time and give myself this book and wrap myself in the most warm, compassionate hug and let myself know that everything's going to be okay, that there's, you know, this, that there is this light, this power within me, that I am beautiful. My body is not an apology, and I can learn to show up from a place of love. I think just giving myself a little bit of love would have gone a long way.
Right? I know. Yeah. I, you know, like if I could go back, you know, to my younger self, it would be, Amanda, you need to know yourself. Like, yes. It doesn't matter what this person is saying at school. It doesn't matter what this person is saying, yes. You know, here or there. You have to know, you have to sit down and really figure out who you are. Quit yep. looking for the outside influences. Quit looking for a man to save you. Quit looking for the next party to go to because yes. you might meet someone so cool, you know?
Yes, so much to all of that. All, yes. It's so important to learn. And, you know, that's part of what I do with the people I work with, is helping these individuals really learn how to slow down, how to listen, how to build their own wellness toolbox and find the sense of balance that comes from a place of love. You totally said it. It is so important to learn who you are truly. What do you like to do? What do you love? What do you not love? How do you want to show up?
Yeah. So and it's important. So powerful, you know, because once you know, I'm going to be 40 in 3 years, and it took mm-hmm. me until this year to mm-hmm. you know, discover who I am and my values yeah. and what I stand for as a standalone me, you know. And I think that, you know, for those listening out there, you know, take that time to pause. It doesn't matter if you're 100 years old. Take the time yeah. to pause and really reflect on who you are and what your values are. Mute all the noise and just really sit down with yourself, because it's so worth it and it's so powerful. And I love that you did Kung Fu. That is so cool. Mm-hmm. So tell me more about the experience of, you know, when you first started. I know you said, like, when you first started, you had, you know, you still weren't coming into it with the right mindset. So when that sure. shift, like, how did you really dive into Kung Fu and then be able to make that switch to, you know, how you're coming into it with the right mindset. I hope I asked sure. you this question.
Yeah,
correctly.
No, I think I get exactly where okay. you're coming from. And so that took a lot of time and experience, but I think, you know, showing up to these martial arts trainings, to these practices, moving my body in these ways, just finding these ways to move that allowed me to feel safe and allowed me to witness, you know, these powerful movements that I, you know, that my body could really do, like all of these amazing things. I think that was where it all started, right? So when I jumped in, I'm like, oh, wow, right? Like, I can do this. And there were little bits here, little bits there. And, you know, over time, when I started gaining that confidence, that's when I think things started to become a little more obsessive, and a little more like, oh, I can really do this. So now I have the power to look the way I want to look, to move the way I want to move, to be where I want to be, to gain all of these approvals. And so it was kind of like this, like, it was such an interesting cycle to go through, an experience to go through, just coming in and kind of settling into this, oh, look at the things I can do, and how it turned into this drastic, like, look at the things I can do. Like, everybody look, like, yeah. look at this thing, right? Like, you know, it was, and I just remember again, those moments where my body was really like, slow down, Symphony, you need to rest. And then the dissonance that I felt within me, because my mind was telling me, you can't rest. Like, who do you think you are to rest? You'll never reach those goals. Like, you have to keep going. You have to keep doing. These are the ways you're supposed to move. This is how you're supposed to train. And this is how you get to where you want to be. And you're not there yet. So you cannot rest. And feeling that enough times, and also pairing my kung fu training with tai chi, it's that internal external, it's all a part of the training that I was going through. And so, you know, I had this glimpse of ways that I could slow down. I had this glimpse of ways that I could connect to something more than just the physicality, where I could really witness that alignment of mind, body, and spirit, where I could really sit and just be. And because I had a taste of that, like, I noticed every time I was in that zone, like, you know, I was coming up with things to heal through. I was feeling and really becoming aware of that dissonance in me between these two extremes, right? My body's telling me I need to rest. My mind's telling me no. And I was really able to witness just how unhealthy that relationship was. So I think having the two internal, external martial arts combined together, and like, I like use finger quotes with that because it's all one. It's all one. There is external and there is internal. You can have internal and external. You could have external and internal. Right. But giving myself permission to really slow down and move through that internal, even in little bits and pieces, really woke me up to the fact that I was not living, I was not training, I was not, you know, in a healthy relationship with Kung Fu. And so that was really where I was like, oh, okay, but I feel really connected and grounded when I do Tai Chi. I feel really connected and grounded when I explore meditation. And that paired with my exposure to yoga, just these two philosophies that really mirror each other, that really help you take a moment and center and ground while also moving your body. It was just this powerful moment where I realized I have the opportunity to slow down and explore and like look at these things that feel good in your body. What else feels good? How can you rest? How can you move through ways? How can you find ways to show up and honor yourself as you are with these types of training, with this type of letting yourself settle and be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful. It makes me want to go out and do some kung fu.
You've got it.
Let's talk about limiting beliefs. So do you still have moments where your mind will, you know, cycle back to those limiting beliefs at this moment in this time in your life after you've already gone through everything? Do you still have those limiting beliefs come up?
Definitely. I think that those are things that don't necessarily go away. However, you learn to tune in and to pay attention and to disassociate yourself from those thoughts. You learn to really come into this knowing of, oh, I am not these thoughts. I am not these emotions. And you learn how to navigate that in a way that, again, feels good to you. I'm all about building this wellness toolbox full of a plethora, a variety of wellness tools, whether that's like joy triggers and things that really help you get into the moment and find joy and get your energy buzzing, or grounding practices to really get you into the moment, to really help you settle from all of these crazy thoughts and separate yourself from them. Rejuvenation rituals, you know, things where you can show up and just let yourself, how do you like to rest? Let yourself rest and recover and recharge, and building from that toolbox, you know, creating this variety of things to draw from, so you can take a moment and pause and say, okay, I am feeling these things. but that is not my identity. I am feeling those things. I'm going to greet that with a sense of love and compassion. And I'm going to pick a tool from my toolbox that will help me move through whatever it is I am feeling, not as a means to like resist and push away, but as a means to wrap that feeling in kindness and to show up for yourself to help you flow and navigate.
Wow. That's powerful. What are some of the, you know, I know you do yoga and, you know, your Kung Fu and Tai Chi. Are there any other tools that you use to help when the limiting beliefs come up?
Totally. And honestly, it really depends on what limiting belief I'm feeling, what emotion I'm feeling in the moment. Music has always been a really big one for me. I grew up very involved in music, and even throughout my childhood, that's what got me through. I was very involved in music. I was in chorus and select chorus. I played instruments. Aww. My first time in college, I was a voice major. And so music has always played just such an important role in my life. And it wasn't until recently that I really identified that as one of my healing techniques, as one of these like joy triggers for me. So music is a big one. You know, depending on how I feel, I'll typically put on like a playlist that goes through like a crazy variety of music. I'll be like dancing 1 minute and singing like Broadway musicals another. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, the music can help me tune in and help me come to meditation. So, you know, music, meditation, I have mindfulness practices. I journal. I like to read, right? Just like noticing all of these things that you like to do and noticing how they make you feel when you're doing them and how they make you feel after you're doing them. So you can really tune in to what you need at any given moment and show up for yourself accordingly, whether that is like taking a moment to read a book or taking a bubble bath or going for a walk through the woods, or listening to music or, you know, exercising, whatever that looks like for you. Looking at becoming aware of all of these things in your life that really help you connect with yourself.
Yeah, music is, I'm glad you brought up music because music is my, I'm a huge music, my husband's a musician, so.
I love it.
But music is such a powerful tool, and it's something that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what music you like, but it's so powerful because if I'm sad, there's times where I'm like, I don't want to feel sad, so I'll listen to a happy song. And there's sometimes where I just need to feel the sadness.
Yes.
So there's songs that I listen to that help me get through that sadness.
Yes.
And it's so powerful.
Yes.
I'm a huge heavy metal fan as well. So
yes,
I like to headbang and pretend like I know how to metal scream all the time.
What a relief that is.
It is, you know, and live music too. I can't wait to go to a concert. Oh my gosh.
I just went to one this last weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I bet. Yeah. Music is so powerful. So anyone listening, know that, you know, if there's nothing else that you can do in the moment, listen to music. Listen to something that makes your soul feel good. It can be heavy metal, oldies, pop punk, rap music, punk, pop music, whatever it is, whatever makes your soul feel good in the moment, put something on. And just let yourself be and feel the emotion or escape the emotion. Music is so powerful.
I love how you said that too, that, you know, feel the emotion or escape the emotion, and really talked about how sometimes, you know, you want to feel those things. Cause I think that that's really important too in our healing practices and finding ways to move and navigate through our life. And we all have those ups and we all have those downs. And sometimes letting yourself feel what you are feeling and greeting it with that kindness and compassion instead of like fighting it. I think that's so powerful. I really, really love how you framed that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. And music has always been a core part of my life. I mean, when I was growing up, I listened to the oldies while I played Barbies. So, but to, kind of to wrap things up, I love to ask my guests, what is the number one tip you have for people to be able to let the good things into their lives?
Ooh, I really love that. The number one tip to let the good things in. I would say slowing down and witnessing the moment, whatever it's bringing, that's really powerful for me, being able to really slow down and become aware. Because when we take time to slow down and really connect with this moment, we're allowing ourselves to live in this flow state and let what we want to do next come naturally, or slow down and really find an appreciation for the things around us. That's it. Okay. Boop, I got it. I got it as I was flowing through those words. It just took me a minute to get there. Okay. I got it. Coming back to it. Gratitude practice.
Oh, yes.
Gratitude practice. I'm like, why didn't I just start there? Yes, I think slowing down and aligning yourself to gratitude really opens your eyes to all of the beautiful things that you have available to you at this moment.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, gratitude is huge. Many of my guests have already said gratitude. So that's how powerful it is. Yeah. Like, it's so true.
Yeah.
Being grateful for the air you breathe, for your clean sheets, for your, for that vase that's sitting above me. Just like appreciate what's around you. Because with me starting my own gratitude practices, that's when my mindset shifted into, oh, I can let good things into my life. I can. I'm positive. The world is abundant, and what I want is waiting for me. One of my favorite affirmations is, you are an intention, and what you want is waiting for you.
I love that.
It's so powerful. I'm an intention. What I want is waiting for me. Say that every day, because it's very powerful. When I found that one, I can't remember who it was. It was on Instagram, and she didn't post it as an affirmation, but I took it, that piece out, and I commented, like, I'm using that as an affirmation, because that's beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That is really, really beautiful, really powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to say, Symphony, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. Your story is so powerful, and I really like your insights into, how to slow down and really appreciate yourself and love yourself. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. I'm truly honored to be a part of this beautiful mission you're on.
Oh, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind all of my listeners out there that you're stronger than you think, and you're capable of having the life you imagine. Make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't miss a single episode of the Let Good Things In show, and I will talk to you all soon.